Today's daf is Chulin daf Samech Vav, and we are 14 lines from the bottom of daf Samech Vav Amid Beis. So the last Gemara that we learned was with regards to the laws of grasshoppers. So Midin Torah, a grasshopper can be kosher. In fact, the Torah singles out four grasshoppers that are specifically kosher: the Arba, the Solom, the Chargol, and the Chagov. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph said that it's not only those four that are kosher, but really, from those four, we can learn that there are certain simonim that make a grasshopper kosher. The Mishnah said, what are the simonim? U'bichagovim, kol sheyesh le'arba raglayim, if it has four legs, v'arba knafayim, four wings, v'kartzulayim, those are the legs on top of the legs that allow it to jump, u'knafav chayfin es rubay. Gemara wasn't sure what that meant. Its wings cover the majority of it. Doesn't mean the majority of its torso going along the length of the grasshopper. It doesn't mean the majority of the circumference of the grasshopper. Regardless, although the Torah mentions four specific grasshoppers that are kosher, but really these four teach us simonim of what makes up the kosher grasshopper. How do you know others from these four? Maybe it's only those four. So the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Samechei Amud Aleph, and really it went all the way through to the middle of Daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph, brought a braisa from the Vei Rabbi Yishmael. Tanav Rabbi Yishmael said that if you look at the pasuk that mentions the four types of grasshoppers, it says Elo mehem toichelo esa arba leminoi vesa solom lemineu vesa chargo lemineu vesa chagov lemineu. And the way Tanav Rabbi Yishmael understood it was Elo klali klalois veElo prati pratis. That what's going on in this pasuk is a very dramatic, a very elaborate klal pratu klal. These four grasshoppers are similar by way of analogy to the Arba Avos Nezikin. And just like by the Arba Avos Nezikin, etc., etc., so too here, are the four simonim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and that's how we know what exactly constitutes the kosher grasshopper. Regardless, the Braisa went through and darshaned every single word of the Pasuk, and the Gemara is concluding its detailed analysis of that pasuk. Amar Ishmael Chagov, one of the four grasshoppers mentioned in the pasuk was the Chagov. And the Braisa said that I would have thought that once the Torah mentions Chagov, that it could be Yochel Embay Kalasi Mana Malolo, that it's okay for a grasshopper to be kosher as long as it's called Chagov, even if it doesn't have any of the other kosher simonim. That's what the Torah had to say, Chagov lemineu, ad shiyu b'kala simonim alolo. That even if it's called Chagov, it still requires to have the other simonim as well. Freita Gemara, im b'kala simonim alolo, mehechetesi. What kind of havamin is that? After the Torah mentions the Arba, the Solom, and the Chargo, so the Torah is very clear that there are criteria that need to be met in order for a grasshopper to be kosher. The Arba has the simonim that the Mishnah mentions, the Solom does and the Chargol does. Now that the Torah mentions Chagov, there's a Havamina that Ishmoy Chagov, it doesn't need the Simonim? How's that possible? Shouldn't Arba, Solom, and Chargol teach me that you definitely have to have those Simonim, even if it's Shmoy Chagov? In other words, Arba v'Chargol ksiv. So the Gemara says, no, Eloi ksiv Solom k'dam. Had the Torah not mentioned the word Solom, then I would agree with you. Hashad ksiv Solom l'Rabbi Reisha Yaruch. But once the Torah mentioned Solom, and as we saw in yesterday's daf, the word Solom was extra, and Solom came to be marba, something that technically should not be included based on the klal pratu klal. Because when the klal pratu klal of arba, solom, and chargo, you would think that only a grasshopper that doesn't have a long neck, because all three of those grasshoppers don't have long necks. A grasshopper that's reish yarech, it has the other four simanim, but it's reish yarech, you would think technically should not be included. The Gemara said that it is included. And the reason is because the word solom is extra, because I could have learned solom from a tzad hashava of arba and chargo. Again, this was all yesterday's daf. But the point is that solom is marba, something that technically should not be included. So once solom is being marba, something that's really on the outside looking in as far as the klal pratu klal goes, Ema, I would add a hamamina libinami kaldu, that maybe it could be marba even more. How so? It should be marba a chagov, as long as it's Shmoy Chagav, despite the fact that it doesn't have any of the other Simanim. Meaning from Chagav alone, I would never have the right to even entertain the possibility that if a grasshopper is called Chagav, even if it doesn't have the other Simanim, so it should be kosher. But once I have the Ribbul Yisrael that tells me I'm allowed to be Marba, something that's not included in the Klal, Prat the Klal, and I have the word Chagav, so maybe Solom is Megala, that when the Torah said Chagav, it means Shmoy Chagav is kosher, even if it doesn't have the other simanim, says the Gemara, Kamash Malan, that's why the Torah wrote, Chagav Liminehu, to teach me that, no, the only time a Chagav is kosher is if it also has the other simanim. And in fact, according to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, Chagav is really the fifth criteria. So you have the four simanim of the kosher grasshopper, and by the way, it also has to be referred to as Chagav. Now, the Gemara had brought two braises that discuss the more exact definition of the four grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah. But if you look back at those two brises, they weren't the same. And the Gemara asks the question, the first brise that the Gemara brought on Daf Samech said, Solom is the Rishon grasshopper and Chargol is the Nipol. And in the day Rabbi Yishmael's brise, we have it the opposite. So the Gemara says, Marki Asri, Marki Asri. Sanam Achloikis, in the Asrei, in the town, in the shtetl, where the Tana of the first Braisa lived, they referred to the Solom as the Rosh and the Chargal and the Nipah, whereas where Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva was, there they used to refer to it in the reverse. It's not something that we have to worry about. There are no implications, lahalacha. Now, before we go weiter, there's a very interesting Rashi right here at the very end of the sugya that discusses the grasshoppers. And that is, so we know that grasshoppers, midin Torah, are kosher. Stating that, the Taz says in the beginning of Simen Pehei in Yerudea that the Midrash Yisrael is not to eat grasshoppers because we don't have a Messiah, which one's Chagav, and what exactly the Simonim are of the kosher grasshopper. But Midin Torah, you're definitely allowed to eat a grasshopper. Says Rashi, if you're allowed to eat a grasshopper, are there any halachas in terms of how you prepare a grasshopper? You have to shech the grasshopper? Could you eat a grasshopper while it's alive? Says Rashi, V'chagavim halalu ein tu'unin shechita. You don't have to shech the grasshopper. Why? Because if you look at the Seder of how the Torah mentions the grasshopper in Parsha Shmini, the Torah mentions it after fish. And then afterwards it says, the point is the grasshopper is mentioned after the fish. Says Rashi, just like the fish doesn't need shechita, so too the grasshopper wouldn't need shechita either. So Rashi says that midin Torah you're allowed to eat grasshoppers. How do you prepare the grasshopper? Zok Rashi, you don't need any major preparations. You don't have to shecht it. You don't have all the halachas on Moshe Misinai. There's no kan and veshet with a grasshopper. The point is, it's like the fish. How do I know it's like the fish? Zok Rashi, because the Torah mentioned it after the fish. So simply based on the Seder, Hapsukim, and Parash Shmini, that's how I know that you don't have to shecht the grasshopper. All you need to do is just whatever you want to do. Either way, Rashi says, and how do I know this? He quotes the Bahag. Tosfos brings Rashi, who quotes the Bahag. And Tosfos says that, you know, even though Rashi brought from the Bahag a remez in the Pasuk, but really, Rashi didn't even need a remez in the Pasuk. He says, it's clear, there's so many Gemaras where I can prove to you, Zok Tosfos, that a grasshopper doesn't require Shechita. Either way, at the very end, says Tosfos, so if you don't need Shechita, so maybe you should be able to eat it alive as well. Can you eat a live grasshopper? Zog Toysis. That the truth is a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Oichel Adam, Dogim v'chagovim, Bein Chayim, U Bein Mesim, V'ein Oichoshish. And you don't have to be worried. Says Tosefta, from there it sounds like you're allowed to eat a live grasshopper. But Tosefta says it can't be. And the reason is, because there's a different voice I say in the Torah, and that's called Bal Tishaktsu. The Torah mentions Bal Tishaktsu in Parsha Shmini, in the context of all the Isurim with regards to eating shkotzim v'ramosim, and over there the Torah says al tishaktu es nafshu yiseichem b'chol asheres asheres v'lo yisetamu behem in et meisem bam. So says Tosfos that based on the isa al tishaktu, this is not going to be a problem. I that tisefta that says you're allowed to eat it alive, he just meant lafuke, there's no isa eva menachai. Ordinarily there's eva menachai, but Zok Tosfos eva menachai would apply if there was a mitzvah shechita. Being that there's no shechita, so there's no evim and achai, and that's all the tesefta means when it says you're allowed to eat it alive. But alach l'maisa, are you allowed to eat a live grasshopper? The answer is no. And the reason it's no is because there's a loisa say about the shakta. Stating that, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Shechita, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, Dogim v'chagovim einon tzrikim shechita. Says the Rambam, even though behema and a chaya need shechita, and a knife need shechita as well, dogim v'chagovim, fish and grasshoppers, are kosher, they don't require shechita. Ela asifason, he ha materas oisam. Then the Rambam brings him a car. Either way, says the Rambam, v'fichach, it's for that reason, im mesu me'eleim, if a fish or a grasshopper dies on itself, b'toich ha'mayim, mutarim, you're allowed to eat it. Umutul oichlan chayim. And by the way, you're allowed to eat it alive as well. And the pashtus, it sounds like, umutul oichlan chayim means that it's not a problem. If you look at that goyis maimonis, kein yisa b'toisefta, the trumis, azoyis mashma in the seft. But then the goyis maimonis says, v'oichal avdafka. I don't think the Rambam really meant that you're allowed to eat it. Why? Like Tosfos says in our sugya right here. What then did the Rambam mean when he says that you're allowed to eat it, Chaim? What the Rambam probably meant was that there's no issa evim and achay, like Tosfos said. So it's a little bit dachuk in the Rambam, but as I state in Agoyis Maimonis, that of course there, even the Rambam, who seems to say umutu lo'ichlan chayim, never meant it literally, that you're allowed to eat it mechayim. He meant what the Tosefta meant, the way Tosefta explains the Tosefta, in Masechta Schulim, Daf Samach Vav, and Aleph, and that is that there's no Isser Eivir Menachay. But at the same time, there is going to be an Isser of Baal Tishakzu. Now it's interesting. This Isser of Baal Tishakzu, is this an Issa d'Oraisa or is it an Issa d'Rabbanan? So you're going to say, of course it's an Issa d'Oraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Al tishaktos nafshu seichem b'chol asheretz asheretz v'lo yisetamu behem v'nit meisem bam." But that pasuk, although clearly says "Al tishaktos nafshu seichem" and is an Issa d'Oraisa, it's talking about something very specific. "Al tishaktos nafshu seichem b'chol asheretz asheretz." It's referring to the shrotzim that you are not allowed to eat. And the Torah is just piling on lavin, right? Shisha lavin, five lavin, all the different lavin that somebody's over if he eats a sheretz. So this is one of the lavin. Al tishaktu is nafshei zeicha b'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz. The question is where there's an element of shikutz. Somebody's going to do something that disgusts him. But it's not that he's eating a sheretz that's also in the Torah. Could you apply al tishaktus nafshu seichem and look at this as a general loisa say that teaches me that anything disgusting is going to be also achila or not? Now the truth is that there are sugyas in Shas where the Gemara talks about things that are not shkatzim and shrotzim, and the Gemara applies the principle of al tishaktus. There's a Gemara mesechtes Shabbos daf tzadik amud beis. There's a Gemara mesechtes Makis daf tezvav. If somebody has to go to the bathroom and he doesn't go to the bathroom, he's over al tishaktus. But the question is that Baal Tishaktzu an Issa D'Oraisa, or is that Baal Tishaktzu not an Issa D'Oraisa? So I'll just tell you something.
Is it a personal parameter? Like each person is different?
Yeah. The Gemara says I'm a furish. Yeah, it's a personal parameter. Exactly. So, but we just had in the daf from the other day. Right, exactly. That for someone that's squeamish and he can't eat the certain eggs. So for him, it'd be usher for him to eat those eggs because he'd be over Baal Tishaktzu. The Rambam brings the halacha Baal Tishaktzu in the end of Hilchos Macholos Asuras. So this is the very end of Hilchos Macholos Asuras, Perik Yud Zayin, halacha Choftes. Asru Chachomim, Macholos Umashkin, Shenefesh Roiv Bnei Adam Keyamehem. The Chachomim said that you're not allowed to eat foods and drinks that most people are disgusted by. You go Macholos Umashkin, Shenesar Behem Kiyo, Itzoyo, Velecha Srucha, Ukayoitza Behem. You get the gist. Vechein Asru Lecho, Velishtois Bekelin Hatzoyin. You're not allowed to eat from utensils that are tzoyim. Shenafshishal Adam Misoinin Omehem. You go in Klei Beisakise. Can't eat from a kli beisakise. Uklei schuche shel safarim shegoyre behen es adamu koyoytzu behen. V'chin lecho biyodayim mezuamos. And it's also to eat with dirty hands. V'al gabi kelim meluchlochim. Shekol dvorim elu b'chlal al tishaktzu es nafshu yiseichem. Says the Rambam in the punchline. V'oichel macholeis elu. If somebody does eat these macholeis, makin oisei makas mardos. The halach is, he's going to get makas mardos. From the pashtus in the Rambam, it seems like the Rambam held that there is a Baal Tishaktzu that relates to things other than Baal Tishaktzu. It's nafshu yiseichem b'chol asheretz ha-shoyretz. But as the Gemara says in Shabbos Tav Tzadik and Makis Tav Tezvah. But at the same time, it's not going to be Asam Adei Reis. It sounds like it's only Asam Adei Rabbanan. Number one, the Rambam prefaces his remarks by saying, Asru Chachamim, and And he concludes his remarks by saying, it wouldn't be Makas Mardis. The truth is, if you look at the Mishnah Melech, the Mishnah Melech says, he has a long discussion about the Issa Bal Teshaktsu, beautiful discussion, and he says, Toich Dvar of one line, Vihine, Isser Zed Bal Teshaktsu Bedvarim, Shenafshe Shal Adam Kotzebehem, Hadover Yodua, everybody knows, She'ino Yalub the Rabbanim. So Zok the Mishnah Melech, that this Diak in the Rambam, it's a dig, but we don't even have to get so excited with the dig, because this is axiomatic. This is universally accepted. Everybody knows this. Stating that, Reb Kiveger Kidua wrote Hagoyis on the Rambam. And Reb Kiveger in his Hagoyis said as follows. Chiddush be'inai. Did not get zel a W Yadua. It's a chiddush to me that the Mishlom Melech said, Shmai, that this is a W Yadua. Hare Abis Yosef Yeridea Simen Kufta Zayim Mesupik Bazeh. Abis Yosef is not sure about it. Va'ayin Taz Shom Demashma Dehume Deiraisa. And he says, take a look at the Taz. And the Taz, it's Mashmitz Medei Reis. So what's this Taz? The Taz brings the Rambam. The Rambam says that for Bal Tishaktsu, you get Makas Mardos. Freak the Taz. The L'chayro, Loma Lo Yei Chayiv Malkus Gomer. Why is it Makas Mardos? Why are you not Chayiv Malkus Gomer? Says the Taz, Nira, Mishum Dahavi Lav She Becholos. Because the Lav of Bal Tishaktsu is a Lav She Becholos. Shedvarim Habir Necholom Boy. Because a lot of Yisurim that are included in that. V'cholav shebeklolis ain't loikinov, k'diz v'perik arba misos, Sanhedrin, daf samach kumul amad alef. Then he has a whole arichus the Taz. But the Taz, Yerudea Simen, kufte ha-sayin, tzivkot and vav, says that he doesn't understand the Rambam. The Rambam says, makonoi said makas mardus, l'chayrut should be malchus arbam. Zok the Taz, probably pshayin the Rambam is, the Rambam held it's a lav shebeklolis, because there's many lavin that are included in this loisaseh of Bal Tishaktsu. And just like you don't get malchus for lav shebeklolis, you don't get malchus for lav shebeklolis, you don't get malchus for lav shebeklolis, Mises Bezin. There's a whole bunch of different rules and regulations that govern Hilchas Malkus. One of the rules are Lav Sheh B'Klolos. The Taz says the Rama must have held Bal Kishaktsu is a Lav Sheh B'Klolos. And as a result, you don't get Malkus. If the Taz held that Adova Yadua, that Bal Tishaktu, Ligabi Shar Dvarim, is only in the Rabbanon. So what's the Taz's Kash and what's the Taz's Teretz? The reason you get Makas Mardas and not Malkus Arbam is because it's in the Rabbanon. Says Rabbi Kivega, it's Muchach, the Taz held, that it's in the Raisa. And that's why he was bothered. The why is it only Makas Mardas? And his Teretz was because it's a Lav Sheh B'Klolos. So fake Rabbi Kivega, Tamu Beinai. It's a big Chiddush to me that the Mishlam Melech said, Hadova Yadua, that it's so posh and everybody knows. The Taz didn't know that. The Taz clearly held it was an Issa Dei Raisa. And the Beis Yosef in the same simon here, Yeridei, simon Kuf Tezai was Mesupik Bazeh. Either way, interesting Shaila, Bal Tishaktu, which you often hear quoted. So Bal Tishaktu, Ligabi Shar Dvarim. As it relates to the Issa Shrotzen, it's Mefurish in the Torah. Al Tishaktu, Snafshu Seicha, Bechol HaSheretz, HaSheretz. The question is, what about someone who needs to go to the bathroom and whatever, or someone drinks from a keli that's used in the Beis Akisei, all the other applications that you'll find for the Issa Bal Tishaktu, somebody eats from the addled egg that we had the other day in the Daf, are those Bal Tishaktus, Isurei De Raisa, Isurei De Rabbanon? The Mishlo Melech said, Hadova Yadua, that it's Nisad Rabbanon, Rab Kiveger, and his Gilyan HaShas, or his Gilyan HaRambam, wasn't sure how the Mishlo Melech was able to say, Hadova Yadua, Chayrud is a Mefurish HaTaz in Yerideo, Simen Kuf Tez Zayin, that seems to say that it's actually an Issed Dairaisa. Either way, so we turn our attention now from grasshoppers to fish. So what's the halacha about fish? So this was the last lines of this festa Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So it seemed like a very small, innocent Mishnah at the time that we learned it, but the amount of sugyas that come from this Mishnah. But either way, so the Mishnah said like this, Ubedogim, as it relates to fish, Kol Sheyesh Lo Snapper V'Kaskes. I'm reading from the Mishnah Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. A fish that has a snapper and a kaskeses is a kosher fish. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnei kaskasim, it has to have two kaskasim and only one snapper. The Elohim kaskasim, what are the kaskasim? Hakavuim boy. Literally, those that are affixed to the fish, also known as the scales. What are the snapirim? Hapireach behem. Those with which it glides through the water, also known as the fins. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. What if a fish doesn't have right now a snapper and kaskeses, or shnei kaskasin and a snapper, according to Rabbi Yehuda? But it's going to have it. When it matures, it will have it. What's the halacha? Kigun asultanis v'afyon. Hareza mutter, it's okay. Yesh liach shavasat lashir b'shosha ilman yam. What if fakir? What if while it's in the yam, it has the simonim of a kosher fish? But eventually, when it emerges from the sea, it won't have it anymore. Kigun akunis v'afunis kisiptias the achzet the pias, and if that's an octopus, the atunas, harezeh, but the tanas, so kol sheishu kaskeses, yesh loy snapper. The price says that any fish that has a kaskeses also has a snapper. Meaning, if it has a scale, it means that it also has a fin. V'yesh, sheyesh loy snapper, v'ein loy kaskeses. But a fish that has a fin does not necessarily have a scale. So if it has a kaskeses, biyodua sheyesh loy snapper. You don't even have to check. If it has a snapper, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has a kaskeses. Yesh loy kaskeses, v'yesh loy snapper. If it has both, doctor. Yesh loy snapper, v'ein loy kaskeses, doctor. Obviously, it's going to be tummy because the simon of a kosher fish means it has to have a snapper and a kaskes. Faith to Gemara, the obvious question. Mechti, a kaskeses kosam chinon. At the end of the day, it boils down to kaskeses. Because if it has a kaskeses, it's going to have a snapper. You don't even have to check for the snapper. If it has a snapper, you still have to check for the kaskeses. So really, it boils down to the kaskeses. So it's just about the scale. So lichter rachmada kaskeses, well, lichter snapper. Why did they have to write snapper in the first place? So tomorrow, because rachmada kaskeses, well, because of snapper, had to tell you, kaskeses are not snapper. I would have thought my kaskeses snapper. I would have thought that maybe the kaskeses is really the snapper. Maybe it's not a scale. Maybe it really is a fin. Vafilu dog tome. And if that's the case, I would have been marba, the wrong fish. I would have thought a dog tome is tar, kasav rachmana, snapper v'kaskeses. So the reason the Torah had to write both is just to clarify what exactly kaskeses and snapper is. Meaning, it's because the Torah wrote kaskeses and the Torah wrote snapper that I know scales and fins. But had the Torah written one, had I known objectively that that one is the scale, that would have been fine. Because any fish that has scales has fins. But being that there'd be no way for me to know that the Torah is referring to the scale, maybe the Torah is referring to the fin, and I would then be marba any fish that has fins, even if it doesn't have scales, which we know Lafia Emes is a dactomic. So therefore the Torah had to clarify, the Torah mentioned kaskeses and snapper, like this, I know scales, fins, fins, scales. I have it all worked out. But the Gemara asks a nice kasha. Okay, so at the end of the day, the Torah wrote kaskeses and snapper, scales and fins. It's like this, we don't have to worry that somebody's going to make a mistake. But at the end of the day, we seem to be teaching that the kaskeses are the scales, and the snapper are the fins. Says the Gemara, now that the Torah wrote snapper and kaskeses, my the kaskeses levushahu. How do I know that kaskeses are the scales? Maybe the other way around. So the Gemara says, dechsev, because there's a pasuk that says, v'shir yoin kaskasin hu lavush. It's referring to Goliath, and he was wearing a coat of kaskasin. So you see that kaskasin is the coat of the fish. It's referring to the scales. It's not referring to the fins. Freik the Gemara. If that's the case, once you're telling me that you have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, an objective pasuk that tells me what kaskeses means, so I know kaskeses means scales. And if once a fish has scales, you know it has fins, so really the only simen of the dag tahar are the scales. So if that's the case, then again, Hajj Kush Luduchte, let the Torah just write kaskeses. Why the Torah have to write fins? Amar Abavo, Vechen Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Yagdil, Torah V'yader. Posh it, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is you're right. It's a good kasha. And really, the Torah did not have to write snapper because once the fish has a kaskeses, I know it's going to have a snapper. Stating that, the Torah did it anyways. Posh it, lahagdil Torah V'yader. If you look at Tosfos says, Harbe Omalonu Taimim Leda Maus Kaskeses. It's not clear what Tosfos is saying. But regardless, Enochinami, for Posh it to know what's kosher and not kosher, it sounds like there would have been no need for the Torah to mention the snapper, the Torah did it, lahagdol Torah ladira. Now the truth is this idea of lahagdol Torah ladira, you find very often in Lashon of Chazal. But a pasuk that the Torah is going to go and the Torah is going to say something that it didn't have to say, lahagdol Torah ladira. I mean, think about how many drushes Chazal made, Yud Gimel Midashar Torah Nidreshes Behem, from S and V'S, and from an extra word, Imeinoyinyin, Teneyoinyin. And here we have a great kasha that the Gemara is asking, and we seem to be dismissing it with a real daichik by saying, Lahagdol Torah Ladira. The Lev Aryeh on this Gemara right here says a davar nifla. First, he brings that the Magen Avraham in the Sefer Zayis Ranan, Aderech Shush, has a whole arichos and what exactly the Gemara meant over here when it says lahagdol Torah ladira. But at the end of the day, he says that even though it's a beautiful drush, but as it relates to the Ikr Pshat, he says as follows: Ulam Asher Anoichi Echse Divya Gemara Now Belav Hachi Hunachinu Poshet Lafia Nias Daiti. He says as follows: Yesh Lachka. When the Torah gave simonim to the kosher fish, snapper and kaskeses, are the simone tahira of the kosher fish a siba for the tahira of the fish? Or is it only a simen that the fish is tahar? Is it a siba, meaning is the reason the fish is kosher because it has fins and scales? Or the fact that it has fins and scales are not the reason that the fish is kosher, but rather it's just a simen. It's our way of knowing that it's a kosher fish. Sounds familiar? The Rogachava's Shaila. Rogachava was mechalik between the behemoth and a knife and some of the raid that we spoke at the beginning of the week. Says the Lev Aryeh, a dover nifla. He says, if the simonim are a simen, then the Gemara's kasha is a great kasha. If all you need is a simen, a way of knowing, a cheat sheet, so to speak, of how I know what's kosher and what's not kosher, then all the Torah had to do was mention kaskeses. Because once it has a kaskes, it has a snapper. There's no such thing as a fish that has a kaskeses that doesn't have a snapper. So I'm done. I don't have to worry about anything else anymore. But Zok the Levar, you know what the Gemara's teretz is when the Gemara says the Hagla Torah Ladira. What the Torah means to say is to tell me a lumdus. The Torah means to say that the simonim of the dag tar are not a simin, but rather a siba. The reason the fish is tar is dafka because it has a snapper and a kaskeses. If that's the case, although it's true that any fish that has a kaskeses also has a snapper, that happens to be a fact, but that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Torah is still mentioning snapper because it's relevant. You know why it's relevant? Because it is a chelek. It's part and parcel of what gives the fish its tahira. So being that it's part of what gives the fish its tahira, that's why the Torah mentioned it. You're right. If the whole purpose of the simonim were just my way of knowing what's kosher and non-kosher, then there would have been no point in mentioning the snapper. I know that it's kosher because it has kaskeses. And if it doesn't have kaskeses, it's not kosher. So from a simon perspective, why add the snapper? He's very bothered by that. But if it's a siba, then it's gevaldik. Because the kaskeses isn't any more of a mechutin than the snapper is. The kaskeses gives it tahira, and the snapper gives it tahira. They're both equally relevant in terms of what gives it a tahira. So the Torah is not just mentioning the fact that a fish that has a kaskes and a snapper are kosher fish. The Torah is explaining why the fish are kosher. That's the lahagdol Torah ladira. We're getting oimik here. We're getting lumdus here. We're getting the soyd Hashem liyareyev over here. That you should know a fish that has snapper and kaskeses for some reason above our pay grade, that's what gives it tahira. The Ramban, incidentally, in Chumash talks about this a little bit, what the kesher is between why a fish that has snapper and kaskeses will be kosher. But either way, Zokta Levaria, if it's a siba, it's geshmak, why the Torah mentioned the snapper, despite the fact that we would have known anyways, just by virtue of the fact that there's a kaskeses, that this is a kosher fish. Either way, Zokta Gemara, Vaita Tanu Rabban, one more Gemara. So if you look at the psukim that talk about the kosher fish and the not kosher fish, so the psukim are very wordy, and the Gemara here is going to discuss now, really, into Shabbos' daf, ba'arichos, more klal pratu klal. The Gemara is going to go through the different words that the Torah uses in this parasha. But the pasuk clearly talks about kosher fish and mentions you're allowed to eat them. And then the Torah talks about the non-kosher fish and mentions that you're not allowed to eat them. So Tanu Rabbanon, Mimash b'shinema echoy l'sheyesh lo shemiyaneh al toicha l'sheyemoy. U'mimash b'shinema al toicha l'sheyemoy. From the fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the ones that don't have the kosher simanim, shemeyani echol l'sheyesh. I know that you're allowed to eat the ones v'lo meshon hakas. So why do we need an essay and a lois essay? And for the Gemara, the very obvious answer, lavarol, the best of a lois essay. Then, no, because it's an afkamin if you have an essay and a lois essay. A lois essay you need for Malkus. The essay you need, a lois essay v'assay is more chashuv. Asay is doicha lois asay, but asay is not doicha lois asay v'asay. So the Gemara, just as a heading for its now very lengthy discussion, mentions that the first thing you'll notice when you go through the parasha is that there's an asay and a lois asay. V'lam l'shanan, why the Torah write it that way? Because the Torah wanted that this parasha of kosher fish versus non-kosher fish should have the chaymer, not just of a parasha of lois asay, like the parasha of Chazer and the parasha of Nevela and Trefa, not just like an asay, which you have some parashas as well, but this should be from the few parashas in the Torah that have the chaymer of lois asay. And I said, where does it play out in Afgamina? A classic example would be if you had a case of Asay Doicha Loisa. I don't know where you have such a case. But for example, the point is, you see, Asay Doicha Loisa is Mohammer. This is a parish of Asay Doicha Loisa, Asay Excel. So before we go weiter, and if we go weiter, I just thought it's kedai to, you know, we spoke out a lot of raid this week with regards to kosher animals, kosher birds, grasshoppers, fish. So really, just to end the week, Me'ena Psicha, with one more piece of raid as it relates to some of the contemporary halachic / controversial issues as it relates to kashrus. And that is, we mentioned the Ramah's Shita. The Ramah's Shita in Simon Pei Beis, in Yerideya, and who says that la'achar the iyun of Daf Samech Aleph, Samech Beis, and Daf Samech Gimel, some of the really difficult sugyas in Masechtes Chulin and Perikei L'Treifes, that talk about the simonim of an oif tar and an oif tameh, at the end of the day, as it relates to practical halacha, says the Ramah, it's really not so relevant. And the reason is because l'maisa, we only eat oifos today that have a mesaira. And an oif that does not have a mesaira, says the Ramah, we are not going to eat. The Ramah's was very, very clear about it. And the Ramah says that from a halachic standpoint, if there's a Messiah, you eat the bird. If there's no Messiah, you don't eat the bird. But that's, of course, only with regards to Eifes. The Eifes, which are so simonim, which are so complicated. Dairis, it's not Dairis. And there's so many Shailas, Rashi, Pshan, and the Sugya, Taitz, Pshan, and the Sugya, the Rishon, and the Mavucha. So being that it's so confusing and it's so complicated. Oh, and by the way, the Torah never even mentioned the simonim. So it's for that reason the Ramah said that what are we supposed to do? At the end of the day, there's no Eitzah. So today we just follow the Messiah, and whatever, if we have a Messiah on a bird, we eat it. If we don't have a Messiah on a bird, we don't eat it. That's the beginning and the end of the whole story. Stating that, that's only with regards to Eifas. As it relates to Behema, Behema is not confusing. Behema is not complicated. The Torah mentions this Simonim by Behema. The Torah says a Behema that has split hooves and it has to be split all the way through. Mafresis parsa, vishoishas, shesa, prosois, and it's malas gera, it chews its cud, it's going to be a kosher animal. So the Ramah made his comment when he was talking about the halachas of oifis and simen pei beis. He didn't make his comment when he spoke about behemoth, and the pashtus, of course, is because by an oif, where it's so confusing and convoluted, so lamaisa, you only eat an oif that has a messiah. But as it relates to behemoths, behemoths are straightforward. So if behemoths are straightforward, it shouldn't be an issue, right? It's not so posh. And the reason it's not so posh is because of a one-line shach that's tucked away. It's in Yerideya. It's in Simen Pei. Dinei Chaya Tahira. It's with regards to the halachas of Chela. And the shach wrote one line. It's very ambiguous. It's not clear what the shach meant. There's a huge tumult in the poskim what the shach meant. And it was Marish Olamos. Now it was a Marish Olamos, it has practical halachic ramification, and it's the reason that most people have never eaten buffalo or bison or other animals that don't have a Mesaira in their lives. So what's the shach? The context over there is, we know the halach is the inality to chelav of a behemoth, even of a kosher animal, the certain chalav in the inality. There's four mentions of chelav we had in the beginning of Perek Eilat Treifas, feels like a long time ago, where the Torah talks about certain chalavim in the behemoth are off limits. If it was kachim, the chalavim were put on the mizbeach. If it's chulin, these chalavim are osabachila, chayde krisus, chattas chelav. It's something they're not allowed to eat. But that's only true for a behemoth. As it relates to a kosher chaya, you're allowed to eat its chelav. And that's the context. Says the Mechaber, Chaya Tahoira, Chelba Mutter, Vidon Ma'asa, Vidon, Vidon Kisu Hadam, the Chachamim Nasnu Simonim in Piashmua, and the Chachamim went ahead and they gave Simonim, how you know if a Chaya is a Chaya Tahoira? They said as follows. Number one, Bekarne said you could look at its horns. Imhe Mefutsalois, Vade Chaya Tahoira. Then Eina Mefutsalois, Sorech Shio Behem Shloisha Simonim, Kruchais, the Hadurais, the Charukais. Sounds familiar? It's one of the dafim that we did not learn together. But either way, we had it earlier in the perek that there's simon based on the horns of a chaya to know if it's tar, if it's not tar. Food the mivlu chirkayu v'mchiser achas mi'elu ashloisha simonim chel ba'asa. So either way, the Shulchan Aruch sets guidelines how you know if a chaya is a chaya Torah or an inenu Torah. What's an egeya, the chaya Torah? Number one, you have the halach of kisi adam. And number two, and that's really what the Mechaber is discussing over here, is the halachis of chela. Says the Shach in Sif. Take a look at the Beis Yosef if you want to understand this sugya. Amazing. So the Shach Beis Yosef was Meirich. He did a very nice job explaining the sugya. But as it relates to my Pirish, Ulafisha Ein Lanu Ato, Ela Masha Kibalnu B'Mesayris, being that today we only have what we were Makabo B'Mesayris, Ukidila Kamon, Simen Pei Beis Gabi Simone Ha'oif, Kitzart. Adkan Loshen Hashach. Says the Shach that if you want a Pirish on Simen Pei in Yerideya, that Loch is of a Chaya Torah as it relates to the Sugis of Chelev and Kisei Adah. I am the Beis Yosef was explained very, very nicely. As it relates to me, again, Lufisha ein lanu ata ela masha kibalnu b'mesayris ukidele kaman simin pei beis gabi simone ha'oif kitzarti. Pasha, the Shach seems to be saying that there's no point really in me explaining and being ma'irich all these simonim, the futsalois and karuchais and hadurois and charukais and mivlu chirkayu, that very complicated daf. There's just no reason to go through it lemaisa, because from a practical standpoint, you know, at the end of the day, you want to know if a chay is a chay Torah, if you could eat its chaylev, if there's kis to yadam, if you have a mesayra on it, then you could eat it. If not, we're not looking at the horns anyways. We're going to base it right now, lahalacha, on the mesayra and nothing else. And being that we're basing it on the mesayra, so there's no reason for me to go into it in great detail, because at the end of the day, just like the Kaman and Simon Pei Beis, by the Simani Oif, the Ramah said that it's not so negayah today, all these different halachas, because we only follow the Messiah anyways. As it relates to this halacha, we only follow the Messiah as well. The Prima Gadim has a discussion on this Shach right here. And the Prima Gadim says that it's pasha to me that what the Shach meant was not that when it comes to kosher animals and chayas, we only do based on Messiah. There's no way. That's not true. That's not what the Shach is saying. The Ramah said it by Oif. He didn't say it by Behema. He didn't say it by Chaya. That's clearly not Lanius Taiti what the Shach meant. What then did the Shach mean? The Shach was discussing the mitzvah of Tisei Adam. The Shach was discussing the halachos of Chelev. Chelev of a Behema is Aser. Chelev of a Chaya is Mutter. Really, the only that means that when it comes to understanding whether an Chaya is Chelev is Mutter, you have to know two things. You have to know if it's kosher or not. You also have to know if it's a chaya or if it's a behema. Zok the Prima Gadim, what the Shach was saying was, is that being that it's unclear today what exactly is a behema and what exactly is a chaya, I don't think anyone is going to have the plates to say that based on the simonim of the horns, it's charukas, it's not charukas, this is a chaya, you're allowed to eat the chaylev. What we're discussing is chayde krisos. So that's why the Shach said, we only eat chaylev based on Messiah. So mean that we only eat chaylev based on Messiah, that's why I'm not going to be mad. But look, the Prima Gadim, the Shach didn't say that you need Messiah for chaylev to know if the animal is kosher or not. For a kosher animal, you don't need Messiah. For that, you have the Torah. Just like we know what tefillin is, and we know what Krishma is, and we know what Shabbos is, and we know what Sukkah is, we know what a kosher animal is. But you know, if the Torah never gave simanim, it's all Torah Sheval Peh. It's Midivrei Sofrim, like the Gemara says. It's Divrei Chachamim, like the Lashon HaMishnah and Daftun Tesemen Al. It's confusing. And as a result, we don't know what to do. Zakhtar Ramam, and Mele, we go Basa Messiah. But by Behema, what's confusing about Behema? The Torah says it has to have split hooves, and the Torah says it has to be Malaskera. It's not confusing. It's very, very straightforward. What's confusing is what's a behema, what's a chaya. For that, we don't have such a clear. For that, it's not so posh. It's not as obvious in terms of that. As a result, Dr. Shach, how are you going to eat chaylev? You're right. I can know that the chaya is kosher. That I could know. But maybe it's not even a chaya. Maybe it's a behema. And so it could have split hooves and be malas geir in the chaylev. It's going to be chay b'krisos. It's going to be like eating chametz on Pesach. It's going to be like eating on Yom Kippur. So because of the fact that we don't know what a chaya and a behema is, Zok to Prima Gadim, the Shach said we need Messiah. So we need Messiah anyways. So he said, Memele, kitzarti. There's no point in being mayrich. But don't think, says the Prima Gadim, that the Shach was coming to say, that we need a Messiah to know if the Chaya is kosher or not. You don't need Messiah to know if the Chaya is kosher or not. It seems like a very reasonable pshat in the Shach. Incidentally, what's even more mashba that that's what the Shach meant, is from the fact that the Shach brought this halach in Simon Pei. The Shach did not bring in a Simon Ayin Tes. You know what Simon Ayin Tes is? Simon Behem of a Chaya Torah. And there's a whole Simon in Shulchan Aruch that discuss Mafresas Parsa and Malas Geira. There's no Ramah that says anything about Messiah over there. There's no Shach that says anything about Messiah over there. The Ramah said in Simon Pei Beis by Oifis. Even the Shach said it by Chaya. So L'chaira, the Diuk is glaring. Why did the Shach say it in Simon Pei? Why didn't he say it in Simon Ayin Tes? L'chaira, when the Shach was talking about the Behema Tahira, the Shach should have said, one second, Behema Tahira, it's very nice. And even though the Ramah didn't say it, I want to be Maisiv, what the Ramah wrote 100 years earlier with regards to the Oifis, and that is that today we only go based on Masorah. The Shach didn't write it by the halachas of Behemoth. He wrote it by the halachas of Chelev. Zok to Prima Gadim, you know why? Because the Masorah that the Shach felt we needed was not to know if it's kosher or not, but rather it's to know if it's a Behemoth. Stating that the Chochmas Adam, Bal Chai Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig in Chachmas Adam said that's nisht pshat in the shach. He said, I think the pshat in the shach is the shach held that the only time you're allowed to eat a behema is if the behema has a messiah. But if the behema doesn't have a messiah, you're not allowed to eat it. And even though the shach didn't write it in Siman Ayin Tes, he wrote it in Siman Peis and Ishkain Diyuk. Like the pashtis and the lashon of the shach is mashma that way. And he said, who are we to go ahead and say that's not what the shach meant? It's definitely possible that's what the shach meant. And as a result, we're dealing over here with something very, very chomer. We're dealing with from one of the Meirei Rav, Klal Yisrael, the Shach, that said that you're not allowed to eat a behema, even if it has clearly, clearly definable kosher simanim, because just like the Ramah said, by Oifas you need Messiah, by behema you need Messiah as well. So the Chachmas Adam and the Prima Gadim argued, Hannah, understand the Shach, Tachlis, are you allowed to eat a behema today? That we know for sure there's no Messiah, but it has very clear kosher simanim. Is it okay or is it not okay? The pashtus, of course it's okay. How could you not walk away from this week of Daf Yomi and thinking that it's fine? At the end of the day, if it has this imanim, l'chayru, what should be the problem? The issue revolves around an ambiguous one line in Shach, in Simen Pei, tucked away with regards to the halachas of Chelev, a machlokes prima gadim, and the Chachmas Adam, how exactly to understand the Shach. The bottom line is, if you understand that the Shach was saying you need Messiah to know it's a chayav versus a behemah, he never said you need Messiah to know if an animal is kosher or not. As a result, you could eat buffalo, bison, whatever it's called. The bottom line is, there's nothing wrong. If, however, you understand the Shach, that the Shach meant just like for Oifus, we need Messiah, you need Messiah for behemahs, and then there's no Messiah on the buffalo. And if that's the case, you would not be able to eat it. What's interesting is that there was a big controversy in the early part of the 20th century that the Chazon Ish opined on, and there was tshuvas written by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, the Rav HaRashi in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a very big tumult with regards to a cow that was being brought from South America, and people were eating it in Eretz Yisrael. This is well known. It was called the Zebu cow, Z-E-B-U. A lot of our cat meat, even today, comes from South America. And apparently there's a cow that's native to South America that is a cow, but it looks different than our typical cows. Its most distinguishing character trait that makes it look different is that it has a hump on its back. It's called the Zebu cow. And the question is was the Zebu cow kosher, or was it not kosher? Lemaisa, Rabbi Herzog wrote a tshuva, and he said that it's okay, it's a cow, and even though there was no Messiah on this Zebu cow in particular, but at the end of the day, it's a behema. For behema, you don't need Messiah, and there's no reason it shouldn't be okay. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a cow. So l'chayr, a cow's on butter, and it has the simanim of a kosher behema. It shouldn't be a problem. The Chazon Ish argued. The Chazon Ish said, he disagrees. He held that you're not allowed to eat the Zebu cow. And the reason is, based on the Shach, and based on the Chochmas Adam's understanding in the Shach. And he says that at the end of the day, he says, how could we go connected this Chochmas Adam? He was Koiveya, the halacha, the sif, listen to his lashon. He says, Elevadai kavanasi b'chol oifin, einonu mekabel min chadosh. After he, the Chazon Ish does, says that he thinks that the Chochmas Adam's pshat, the Shach, is the real pshat. He says, but the bottom line is, v'afel divrei ha'prima gadim. Even though the Prima Gadim said it's Moter, meaning because the Prima Gadim argued in his understanding of the Shach. But for us, it's going to be awesome. Mishum minik shekova b'chachmas Adam. V'sifrei hispashet b'doire b'chal eretz lita. His sefer was hispashet b'chal eretz lita. At the end, we have no choice. L'maisa, once the Chachmas Adam wrote what he wrote, we have to be mekabel what he said. V'ein lifreitz gedeb im enhogon shal Yisrael. V'ein lanu shum hechrech lazeh. V'day lanu b'bakr v'tzayin shab b'mitzayres. What's wrong with eating the bakr, the tzayin that you're allowed to eat anyways? We have a mitzayir on. At the end of the day, he said it should be okay. I found a tshuva from Usher Weiss. It's printed in Minchas Asher in Parsha Shmini. And he has a beautiful arichas on this shayla. Be'inyin hazibu kal. Lamaisa. Is it okay or is it not okay? And really, again, it revolves around this shach. See, he's makdim, he brings the shach, and the machloikis, the chachmas adam, and the prima gadam, and this whole arichos. And he says a few things. He says, first of all, he said this idea that there should be a shayla, the way the prima gadam understood the shach, that the question and that the reason the shach felt we need Messiah is not to know whether the animal is kosher or not, because for that we have the simanim, but rather to know if it's a behem or a chayah. He says it actually makes a lot of sense. It's very, very reasonable. He says it's mitzad asvara. He says because the Torah in Parshas Re'eh mentions 10 animals that are kosher. We never spoke out this pasuk. The Torah mentions as follows: Zois habehem asher techelu, shor, sek vasim v'se'izen, shor, sek vasim v'se'izen. And then the pasuk says ayil utzvi v'yachmur v'akoy v'dishan utoy v'zomer. So there's 10 animals that are mentioned that are all kosher animals. The first three, Chazal said, were behemoths. The latter seven are chayas. Ayol utzvi, the yachmur, the akoy, the dishayim, uta'oy v'zomer. Do we know what these animals are today? We don't know what these animals are. You know what a yachmer is today? An akoy and a dishayim, a ta'oy and a zomer. We don't really know what they are. We know what shayr is. We know what a zek sovim are. We know what se'izim are. We don't know what the chayas are. So he said, you see, clearly, it just... from being Mavasetra, we don't know what behemoths and chayas are. So as a result, how could we go ahead and assume that something for sure is a chaya, or something's for sure a behemoth? So he says it's more in that context that the Shach probably felt you need Messiah. See, you push, you even have to go past Parshas Re'eh to understand why the Shach might have thought that this is something that we should need. And then he's medayik in the Chachmas Adam itself, that he thinks even the Chachmas Adam may be held that way. That's already a whole different discussion. Lamaisa, after discussing this barichas, he brings Rav Herzog's tshuva and everything the Chazon Ish said. So he says as follows: Venira oid. Here's the bottom line: the misha oichal tarnagel hoidu. He says anybody that eats turkey, venimna meachilas haziba, but he doesn't eat the zibo cow, ain't a yelamin avatmiyim. That already makes no sense. He says, why? There was a big tumult about the turkey once upon a time. The ones that were matter the turkey were matter based on two ikr tainas. Number one, behoidu in India, nagu b'nei Yisrael lechol minze. Now it's interesting that, you know, we refer to the turkey as the turkey. Now turkey is a country. And the truth is the reason we call this bird turkey is because of the country Turkey, and it's not because the turkey is native to the country Turkey, but rather because they were Turkish merchants that used to trade in the bird, and as a result, it became known as the turkey. But interesting, in most cultures, the bird that we know as turkey is not called turkey, but rather it's referred to something related to the country of India. Even in Lashon Kodesh, it's called Haida, right? It's called that Mehoida Vat Kush. That's what it's referred to. It's Milashon India. In Arabic, it's called in Hindi. In Turkey itself, it's called Hindi, incidentally. So the truth is that most people refer to it, in most cultures, it's referred to by a word whose shayrish has something to do with India. The Netziv in his Meshav Dover, when he talks about it, he talks about the bird called the Indic. So again, this was referred to by India. And the reason is because when Columbus discovered America and they found the turkey, they realized they could make a lot of money off the turkey. This was like discovering gold. So what they did was they started trading in it and they would sell it to India. That's where it ended up going. So it's native to the Americas, North America and South America, but it ended up in India and in other parts of the world. But what's interesting is that the Gedolim, when they wrote Shuvas about the turkey, you know, initially when this whole controversy came about, they said there's a Messiah, Yidden in India are eating it. What's interesting is we now know that the Yidden in India that were eating it, they weren't eating it for thousands of years. This doesn't go back to Mehoidu Vat Kush as in Megillus Esther, but rather this was more recent. This came from post 1492, L'chaira. But either way, but there were two reasons, says Rav Usha Weiss, that we are Soymechon when it comes to eating turkey. Number one, he says, Bahaydu na'agu b'nei Yisrael lechol minze, u'memili yesh mesayres lahat. Beis doimahu letarnagal. Their second is the Shaila Meshiv, wrote in a tshuva, that he thinks that the turkey is like a tarnagal. At the end of the day, we have a mesayres on the tarnagal. A turkey shouldn't be much different than a tarnagal. So it's interesting that earlier in the week, we spoke about the Muscovy duck. It is a duck, it's not a duck. A tshuva from the Avnei Nezer, different simonim, heizer iktas, it doesn't quack, right? We spoke about the Muscovy duck. The Rosh Hashanah wrote in a tshuva that to him, as it relates to Messiah, even the turkey is a tarnagel. A turkey is not a tarnagel, but he said it's close enough. So as far as I'm concerned, it should be fine. Bottom line, says Rav Usha Weiss, that if you're going to be soymich on the Shailah Meshav's hat there, that the turkey is a chicken, then the zibu cow is definitely a cow. So at the end of the day, what's the shayla? It comes down to a shach. And the Chachmas Adam and the Prima Gadim's Machlik is not how to understand the shach. But it's all predicated on saying that there's no Mesaira on the Zibu cow. But there's a Mesaira on the cow. The shayla is, but there's a different cow. This has a hub. So this is like Mamish the Muscovy duck. It's a very similar shayla. We have a Mesaira on the duck. We just don't have a Mesaira on this duck. We have a Mesaira on cows. We just don't have a Messiah on this cow. So the question is, does the general Messiah apply? Or no, you need something a little bit more specific. Zok de Milchas Usher, that if you eat turkey, trust me, the
things that you have to be soivach on for that are much less problematic than the things that you have to be soivach on. He says, not just that. Turkey, you're dealing with oifus, right? An oif, you for sure need a mesorah. That's the Ramah. That's the ikub sakalacha. Here it's a shach. And it's a shayla and how to understand the shach. So the oifus is much more chamer when it comes to mesorah. Here, you want to be a machmer. You want to tell me that the shach held you need mesorah for behemoth, even though we never even heard of such a thing. Okay, but the shach said it. Rabban shall call b'nei ha-goyla. You see the cheshivas that the poskim, I mean the shach, lived in the 17th century. One line in the shach, mamish, the ganze welt gets a chibur, because the shach might have said you need mesorah for behemah. You see who the shach was. But the bottom line is that it's for sure not the ikur halacha, and it's a shaila what the shach may have even meant. So it makes sense that that's, so, and here you want to be machmeh, and when it comes to the turkey, when you're dealing with oifas, where there seemed to have been a much more troubling mesorah, and the turkey is definitely more different than the tarnagol, there you're going to be mekel. That doesn't make sense. The bottom line is, he fears us as follows. He says, Soif davar, nira l'chayra, the bakar hazibu, vaday loigara mi tarnagol ahoyti kemavur. It's definitely not worse than the turkey. That's his psak. Hine, shuv gila, somebody told me that Maron, hagoyin Rabbi Yashuv shlita, daitoy shem naroy limon mechila zanze. Rabbi Yashuv tells people not to eat the zibu kem. Ach nira l'chayra, said Rav Usha Weiss, "Tahira zu nitna liyotzi yeshivas lita." I think this is for the litvisha. Shekiblu al atzman hiras hachachmas adam. Come on, because of the Chazon Ish, like the Chazon Ish himself wrote, "Aval hachsidim v'yotzi poilin in the Galicia v'Hungaria." She divrei aprima godem hey matara l'roisham. For whom the prima godem was their poisik and their moira ra, he's the crown on their heads. Yesh lem lismoich olav lahakel b'nidin didan. Ubefrat la'or kol dvarenu hanal. Certainly, after light of the tshuva that I wrote, to me it's poshit that it's okay. V'shamati me'ish neman tamut chacham muflik, shalachin kach yotzim milfim ra. I go in Rabbi Yashuv Shlita, and he said, somebody told me that he taka heard Rabbi Yashuv said that. That he said that his chumra is only meant for litvisha yidin, for whom they follow more the litvisha derech. But for the chassidim, the yoytzei poilin, the galitzianas and the ingrishes, for them, the divrei aprima godim is atar l'roishon. He said they certainly could be mekel v'su loy midi. That's how he concluded his truth.